The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard this train. This train is bound for glory. This train. This train is bound for glory. This train. This train is bound for glory. Only way you ride, you got to be holy. Oh, I'm talking about this train. Welcome aboard this train. Truth seekers. I'm excited about what we're going to do today. Welcome to Truth Infusion, and this is going to be a blessing today. What we're going to do is we're going to tie up, we're going to finish the teaching we've been doing on the sin nature. Now, if I'm correct, I believe this is the 13th radio program based on this teaching that we've been up to in the last several months. And so, I'm excited about wrapping this up because here's what I'm looking forward to a lot, and I want you to be praying about this. We're going to hopefully take these 13 shows, and we're going to edit them down into a teaching series, a DVD teaching series that hopefully I'll be able to make available to you, to study groups, to Sunday schools. There's several people that have made mention of it, and I'm excited about the opportunity to do that. We've been studying what I believe is one of the most important teachings in the Word of God. I really think that let me speak from personal experience. When the Lord helped me to grasp this teaching, it changed my life. My spiritual life took an exponential skyrocket. If you could chart my spiritual walk with the Lord in a line graph, I'm telling you, at the point that the sin nature, the teaching of Romans chapter 6 was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, that revelation experience that we have, my line graph would have just shot through the roof. And God has been able to do so much to me and through me because of this. So there's no way that you can get it all in one time. Look, I didn't learn it all at once, and I'm still learning it. Even though I've taught it several times now, I'm still on the train, listening to the Holy Spirit teach this to my heart. But you can't understand it, know it all at once. So maybe that's where these teaching CDs would become very beneficial to you. So I hope to be able to make that available to you. So what we're going to do today is just put the conclusion on this. We've been doing this for the first 14 verses of chapter 6. And really, what I want to do is show you what I call the Romans 6 formula. Okay? The Romans 6 formula. I want to take a review through these verses, and I want you to see what happens when you can apply the Romans chapter 6 formula, because this really is not just for you as an individual. The whole reason God reveals something to us is to, yes, change it in our heart and life, but it's also to equip us as ministers of the gospel, which you are. That's not just your pastor, not just your youth pastor or your deacon or your elder or an evangelist or somebody on the TV. You are a minister of the gospel if you are saved. You have been commissioned by Christ Himself to go into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of those that come to the Lord, or those that are struggling, or those that are in need of understanding. That is your job. And I want you to be able to do that. So let me give you a couple of examples. And then I want to ask you some questions. And then I want to show you the Romans chapter 6 formula. And basically what that means is the summarized understanding of what we've put together that you can not only apply to your life, but hopefully be able to apply to another person in the situation that they're struggling in. So here's what we did to begin this. From the get-go, I read some case studies that I had written. Some of these are based in truth, but the names have been diminished to an initial. And I want you to listen to these situations because these are real live situations, real life situations. And we need to be able to step up beside these brothers and sisters and offer them the truth. Infuse the truth that'll set them free. Now listen to this. I want you to picture this in your mind, and then I want to ask you some questions. Mr. D is saved, but he struggles with the temptation of internet pornography. He's married, and this has been a major problem with his relationship with his wife. Mr. D loves the Lord and his wife. He doesn't want this problem in his life or his family any longer. He has prayed. He has asked God for help many times. He stays away from the pornography for long periods of times, but sooner or later, always he seems to find himself back in the position that he hates. And you know what? Each and every one of us can remove pornography from this illustration and inject something that we stay away from for good periods of time, but sooner or later we always find ourselves back there. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit's desired to work on us and to remove from us. These are the effects of the sin nature. Let me read you another one. Miss W is a single mom with two teenage boys. Her husband left years ago and is no help to the boys or herself. She is a church member and she is a Christian. Miss W struggles with anger and bitterness toward her husband. She also struggles with depression. At times when the boys are not around, she drinks to numb the pain. Miss W wants to be able to forgive her ex-husband, but when things get difficult or the boys act like teenagers, the resentment comes back. She has prayed for help and she feels hopeless. You know how many people sit beside you in church, sit beside me in church, with these kind of stories in their closets? We're real good about putting on church face when we come into the doors. And we do praise the Lord when we're there. And we pray and we agree with what the preacher says. But then we go back home. So many Christians go back home knowing what's waiting for them when they walk in the door. They hate it. They're miserable with it. But they do not know what to do about it. This is the sin nature they're struggling with. Let me read you one more. Mr. C is a Christian. He's a church regular. He even plays in the worship band. As a member, as a child, he was molested by a family member several times. His father committed suicide some years ago. He's a closet alcoholic. He takes prescription pain meds when he can get them. He's been in church his whole life. He reads the Bible, but his life is a wreck. He doesn't want things to be this way. He has sought medical and spiritual help, but he still thinks from time to time that dying would be better than living. This is real life stuff, folks. Now let me ask you some questions. If this person came to you for help, what would you tell them? How would you approach their issues? Would you do what most Christians would do? Would you just say something short and almost condescending when it respects the problem that they have and say something like, just go pray about it? Or, well, God can take care of this. Or, you know what? You need to go talk to my preacher. Now, should they just go pray about it? Well, absolutely. Can God take care of it? Yes. Can they just go talk to your preacher? Sure. Maybe he has some answers for them. Maybe he doesn't. Here's the point I want to make. Why don't you get the word? Sit down with them. Maybe for several hours. Maybe a couple of hours for a few days in a row. Maybe it's on a regular basis for quite a while. Just taking them through the word and teaching them how to break free from the power of the sin nature in their life. Could you do that? Because ultimately, all three of these situations, that's the problem. You know, a lot of people would say, well, they're not really saved. And you know what? Maybe in some situations, they're not. But I'm promising you this, because I have dealt with them firsthand, a lot of them are. A lot of them are saved. They know when their salvation experience took place. They know the Lord and they love the Lord and they want to please the Lord. They are just like Paul was in Romans chapter 7. They are saying that these things I hate, I find that I do. The stuff I want to do, I can't do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I don't know what to do. That's what Paul said. These things I'm doing, I do not understand. You go read chapter 7, verse 15 of Romans and see if that's not what the apostle said. I'm talking about Paul. The Paul. The one that wrote the most of the New Testament. The one that founded churches. The gospel of grace was given to him. The apostle of grace at one point in his Christian life said, all this stuff that I'm doing, I'm struggling with, I don't understand why. And that person that's sitting across the table from you or bumping up next to you in church that's broken inside, it's not that they're not saved. They are saved. They just do not understand. They have not been discipled. And you have been given a commission, child of God, to disciple them. Some people would say their problem is their denomination. And you know what? There are some denominations that preach and teach condemnation. They condemn many more people than they ever help find freedom. I'm not going to call names. I'm not. But if you're in a church or a denomination, and what you're getting more than anything is stepped on, the what they preach from the pulpits, what they're teaching in the classroom brings you down and makes you feel more condemned than set free, if they're not teaching you how to live in freedom, I just ask you to consider it. Because Christ himself said, I did not come to condemn, but to save. So we're not going to put this struggle off on denomination completely. Because the truth is, the denomination you're in will either lead you toward a discipled life where you can find that freedom, or they'll keep you from it based on what they're teaching. Paul told the Galatians church that what you've done is you've given yourself to another gospel. Ultimately, the problem's not their denomination. It's that they are still being controlled by the sin nature. Let me ask you this. What does the Bible say about how to live a victorious life? I know that you know that it says that you have life more abundant. I know that you know that it says that you can be more than a conqueror. But what does it teach? Can you show someone? Can you? Well, I think that if you would find yourself in these situations where you've got a loved one, maybe a family, maybe your own kid. I've had this talk with my own children about the sin nature. They need to know so that they don't have to say, I don't understand. They may still mess up, but at least they will understand the issue. Amen? What I want to do is I want to show you the Romans chapter 6 formula. And when I say formula, I don't mean if you do A, B, and C that you'll get the answer. Christian life is not a formula. What I mean when I say that is, here's what Romans chapter 6 teaches. And so if you find yourself in this situation, perhaps you can take this route through discipling them about what the sin nature is. So let's start. Number one, refer to Romans 6, 2 and 3, that says the power of the sin nature was broken at the cross. Since God has placed us in Christ, the power of the sin nature was broken when we were saved. So you tell that person you're talking to, you don't have to obey the commands of the sin nature anymore. That's the first step. So we're going to go to break now. And when we get through with that, we're going to hit on the rest of these points and we're going to complete this teaching on the sin nature. You come back with me after the break. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Jennifer again. I love how the Word of God can seem new every time you read it. I know you've heard and read these words before, but I'd like to read them to you. They are absolutely beautiful, and perhaps you need to hear them again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Truth seekers, I think it's great to know the 23rd Psalm. However, the Psalm can't save your soul or change your heart. The one you really need to know is the Shepherd. God bless you and keep seeking the truth.
Hey Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth. All right, welcome back, guys. I just began, right before we went to break, I began to lay out what we're going to call the Romans chapter 6 formula. And again, I want to stress that I'm not saying that if you do A, B, and C, then you're going to get the answer you're looking for. Christian life is a relationship. It's not a formula. So I just called it that just to bring about the idea that this is what Romans chapter 6 leads us to. If you were to walk through the verses with someone and try to disciple them in understanding the sin nature and what Paul laid out for us in Romans chapter 6. So what I've got here are eight highlights or eight major points that we've discussed really for the last 13 weeks, and I want to lay them out for you. So let me give you what number one again, because the first step is always the most important step. So this really is based in verses 2 through 3, but here's step 1 of understanding how to break the power of the sin nature in your life. You've got to understand, refer to verses 2 and 3, that the power of the sin nature was broken at the cross. Extremely vitally important. Since God placed us, as Paul said in these verses, in Christ, key words, the power of the sin nature was broken. He says in verse 2 that you are now dead to the sin nature. So when we were saved, this happens. The power of the sin nature is broken when we are placed in Christ. What does that mean? You don't have to obey the commands any longer. That's step one. Step two, refer to verses 4 through 5. And here's the major point. You and I have been infused with the divine nature. Step one, sin nature power broken. Step two, the infusion of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You need to remember that. That is why you hate your sin. That's why you desire to live a better life. Before you had the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you did not hate sin. You may have not liked the results of the consequences of sin at times, but you didn't hate your sin nature before then, because the Holy Spirit is what gives you that ability to hate your sin and to desire to please God. You now have the desire and the power through the Holy Spirit to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. And you need to know that. Not only is the sin nature broken, but you have the power to choose to let the Holy Spirit do amazing, awesome things in your life. That's step two. Step three. Romans chapter 6 and the chapter 6 formula refers to verses 6 and 7. Here's the major point here. Because you were crucified with Christ, the sin nature is not the master of your body anymore. You were crucified with Christ. You were killed with Christ. And here's what verse 7 says. This is very simple. He who is dead has been freed from the sin nature. That is powerful news. You see, Romans chapter 6 teaches us that when we came to salvation, when we said yes to the redemption plan, we were merged together with Christ. God fused us together with Christ. He grafted us into the vine. We were placed in, it paints the picture of marriage. We were made one flesh with Jesus Christ. That's why we're called the bride. And when we were placed with Christ in salvation, we were also in the mind of God placed with Christ in his crucifixion. And so God saw us die that death to pay for the penalty of our sin. Verse 23 in chapter 6 says, the wages of sin is death. Well, guess what? If you've come to Christ and you receive salvation, you have paid the price through what Christ did at the cross. God sees it as done. And because he considers you to have died with him, he who is dead is freed from the power of sin. Major, major, powerful point that you and I need to keep in mind. Point four. Once you understand, once that person that you're discipling understands the spiritual mechanics of a person that has come to Christ, now you tell them how to do the what to do. Now, we've talked about that, but it's been a few weeks ago, so let me review this real quick. We do a lot in the church about telling people what to do. Do this, don't do this, you know, pray hard, read the Bible, do this, complete the to-do list, but we don't tell them how. And so any of us that have been told what to do and we don't know how to accomplish that, that results in frustration and defeat. So once you've explained to them the divine surgery that took place at salvation, that the sin nature's power was broken, that the divine nature was implanted, that we were put together with Christ, and because of that, God recognizes that we died to our sins and we don't have to live according to the sin nature anymore. Once you've explained that and once they understand it, now you start to teach them how to live free from sin. This is part four, okay? Now we switch from what to do and start telling them how to do. Now let's go to part five, and this centers around Romans 6, verse 11. So you refer back to that, and then you teach them this. Every day, multiple times a day, if necessary, you recall that you are dead to sin. And really, that's the sin nature. What did verse 11 say? Reckon that you are dead to the sin nature. What does that mean? You can tell the sin nature no. I don't have to obey. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to live under condemnation and the guilt of sin. I can walk away. Why? Because of the second part of verse 11, that you are now alive to God through Jesus Christ. You can say yes to the Holy Spirit. And we need to focus on this truth. We do not need to let it slip from our mind. And I'm going to end this whole teaching with a perfect illustration of this. We're going to refer back to this thought. The point five, remember, recall, reckon that you're now dead to the sin nature and alive to Christ. Remind yourself of that, because when we remind ourselves of the truth, we are more apt to live in the truth. When we get bogged down and we forget what we know, we begin to revert back to what we used to be. Point number six centers around one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That's verse 12. Point six is this. If you keep this in account, everything we've just talked about, here's what you get. You can keep the sin nature off the throne of your life. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to do this. You can start to deny the evil desires of your body. Why? Because you're good enough, smart enough, and people like you? No. But because the Holy Spirit is the King reigning on the throne in your life. So, remember what verse 12 said, let not the sin nature reign. When we do that, the Holy Spirit by default is the one that's the reigning king in your life. And when the Holy Spirit is reigning, we can deny our body, our mortal body, as it said in verse 12, from the evil lusts and the desires of the flesh. Point number seven, Romans chapter 6, this is verse 13 and 14. Don't give the members of your body to the sin nature. Yield them to the Holy Spirit. Yield them to God. Continuously give them to God. And if you do, this is what we talked about last week right here in one sentence. If you do these things, the sin nature will not have lordship under you. You will not live under law. you will live under grace. And that's what God intended for all of us to be able to do, to live free from the law, free from the sin nature, free and victorious, living in grace with the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning over our lives. That's the Romans 6 formula. Now, just because you recite those points to somebody doesn't mean they've got it. Okay, now I'm free from sin. This is where you start to teach, disciple, walk them through. They need to understand point 1 before they can get to point 2. And before they can get to the end of point 7, where the sin nature will no longer have lordship over you. You don't live under law, but now you live under grace. You got to understand the first 6. This is where you become a discipling teacher of the gospel that you have been empowered to do. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into the world, preach the gospel, and disciple them. You don't have to wait on your preacher or your youth pastor to do this. You can do this as you are being set free from the sin nature. Let me give you one last point, and that's just what I've been saying, but the more that you practice this biblical truth of Romans chapter 6 for success in the Christian life, the easier it will become. And I want to make one quick analogy, one illustration before we get done, to kind of tie all this together. How does this work? Have you ever seen one of those old churches that have the big bell tower? There aren't many of those left. You can find one every now and then. A big bell tower, and I guess they would ring that bell to say, you know, church is about to start. Come on, gather in the sanctuary. Let's have church. You know, those bell towers were huge, and those bells weighed tons. They were massive. And remember, you ever seen where someone would grab a hold of that big old rope, and they would begin pulling on that rope? Pulling. You'd have to pull up and down and up and down. Finally, that bell would swing enough that it would start to ding. Well, you know what? You've been living a life with the sin nature in control a long time, and that bell's been ringing out. Here's how you get the bell to stop ringing. You got to let go of the rope. Quit pulling on the rope. Now, in those bell towers, when you let go of that rope, you know what? That bell may ding a few more times before it gets quiet. But before it can ever begin to stop swinging, you've got to quit pulling on the rope. That's what I'm talking about. Remember what I've taught you over the last 13 weeks, what the Holy Spirit is teaching you through Romans chapter 6. Let go of the rope. Quit pulling on the sin nature and allow him to be in control. The sooner that you do, the sooner that bell will stop swinging, stop dinging. And before long, that big old bell, that sin nature that's been swinging in your life will get still, will get quiet, and that bell will get quiet, and the Holy Spirit will begin to be glorified like never before in you. God bless you. I hope this has benefited you. And above all things, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.